month or two ago, Father David and I are having lunch with Stella, and the conversation is typical. And then all of a sudden, Stella looks up to the ceiling and says, inappropriately, because it didn't fit into our conversation, "I don't know when I'm going to die." And she's looking at the ceiling of the restaurant, and then, you know, we're both very quiet, Father David and myself, because we know that Father Rufus, who started Stella out, was told when he was going to die, and he, about 10 days before, and so he got his affairs in order, and then he died in his sleep 10 days later, and he had arranged everything with his secretary of what to do and everything. So I was thinking, oh, well, here it comes, you know, Stella's going to tell us what, you know, what we're supposed to do. And then she said, "Now, a 10-year-old may die before I die, or the 10-year-old could live longer than I do." You know, she's 87, so the 10-year-old is likely, probable, to live longer than she does. And then it's as if everything just went back to the normal conversation. Then, what has happened since that conversation? One very extraordinary event in Stella's life. She went to Houston, and there she met with all her living relatives. That would be brothers and sisters, and all the nephews and nieces and so on. Some nephews and nieces that she'd never, ever met before. And then there, she conducted a deliverance of ancestral spirits 2, 3, 4 generations down for everybody that was there. These are her closest living relatives and their spouses. So, what do you think of that, Andrew?
That's quite amazing, actually. You know, you were telling me about that story once of how herself and this lady from South America, they sat in this church and gave them a sermon in some language, and it was heard by others in other languages.
Yeah. Dear Gracie, she died 2 months ago in Colombia. She's the reason that Stella has an orphanage in Colombia. And Gracie, wonderful Gracie, who just died 2 months ago, she and her sister Esther came to the prayer group every Monday for 15 years while I've been going there. And as you know, I went there because I got scared with what was going on in Michael Sala's house. So this wonderful Gracie is with Stella. She was the translator. She's Spanish. She's from Colombia. She was with Stella. This is in Stella's book, Spiritual Warfare. So Gracie was with Stella, and I, from Gracie, here it is. "Stella is getting too big for her britches, according to the Catholic Church in Colombia. So they decide, somewhat towards the last minute, that she cannot address a crowd of about 1,000 people. So Gracie asks Stella, what are we going to do? And Stella says, we will pray. And so they get as close as they can to the crowd, and they get to a little street that has a chapel on the other side of the street, and the chapel is underground. So they go in to the chapel and they start to pray. And with Stella is Gracie, who's in the book with Gracie's testimony. So they start to pray, whereupon Stella begins to levitate, or does levitate, and she, this is not in the book, but I asked Gracie, well, what position was she in when she was levitating? Said, kneeling. So she is levitating over the altar of the chapel for, say, an hour, hour and a half, praying. And then they hear that the crowd is dispersing. So Gracie runs out to the crowd and says, what did the guy say? And the person that Gracie asked this to says, what do you mean? We saw Stella. And Gracie says, couldn't have seen Stella. I mean, I think she's thinking to herself, because I saw her praying, levitating over the chapel underneath the ground there during this time. But she says to the guy, it couldn't have been Stella because Stella does not speak Spanish. I'm the translator for Stella into Spanish. When she says this to the guy, another person next to him says, no, I heard her in Portuguese. This is just another day at the office for Stella.
That's quite amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the actual, her jaunt to China, she had some trained Chinese ninja break her foot with a high heel or something, didn't she?
Yes.
And then what was all this about the authorities in America realized that Stella was some think tank from the Department of...
Well, we have someone in the prayer group whose husband works in the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he is a China expert. So he was tracking Stella's visit to China, and that's how he knew that they were having high-level meetings about Stella's visit there, and they wanted, these were scientific meetings about how do you stop these miracles. Then they decided that they just had to stop Stella. And so they sent a woman out with a steel-tipped toe, I think it had a spike on it, and stepped on Stella's foot. And so she had excruciating pain for the last part of her stay in China, but she kept going. And she, then the miracles kept happening. So at the end, when she left, the second in command in China, whoever that is, made a law that she could never come back to China.
Huh.
Chinese stopped Stella.
Quite amazing. The Chinese weren't wanting miracles at all to happen. Because it's
no,
faith-based.
No, because there were crowds. There were,
How big were those crowds,
Frank? They moved in with troops. And,
were they?
You know, that would have made it called more attention to the whole operation.
Oh, my God.
So they were thinking that there was some clandestine way that they could stop her.
So Stella was a strategic event in China.
That's just last year.
Just last year.
You have a woman who, with Father Rufus, 40 years ago, started the International Association of Deliverance, of which she delivered the keynote address to last year with 300 or so priests in it now. And it's run by a bishop. And as Stella was going up to the podium, the bishop yells out to her, Stella, don't say anything that I'm going to have to stop you for. And that same bishop stood up with tears, his arms wide open, as Stella descended from the podium.
The International Association of Deliverance.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a Catholic organization, and it's a Catholic organization started by this Father Rufus, and 40 years ago. So 40 years ago, Stella is in some kind of ecumenical conference in Rome, and it's a week-long conference, and the week is up, and this priest comes over to her and says to Stella, his opening remark to her is, "Can you stay another week?" Stella's answer is, "No." And the priest says, "Why not?" And Stella says, "Well, it would cost me more money to change the plane reservations. There's no way I can stay in the hotel this next week. And besides that, my husband wouldn't let me do it." And Father Rufus's reply to that is, "We could pray about all three of those things." And Stella said, "Well, yeah, we could, but, you know." And then it turns out that the plane reservations can be changed at no charge. There's the same room is available for the next week. And she calls her husband and asks, and he says, "Sure."
These are clearly acts of God. These are modern, contemporary acts of an apostle. You read about the same thing in the book of Acts. Incredible stories.
What happened in this week was that Father Rufus and Stella formed this association. They commiserated with one another about how the Catholic Church 40 years ago had kind of gotten away from spiritual warfare. And there were no exorcisms in the U.S.
They've done away with it. They've turned it into a psychiatric or psychological disorder.
Yes, specific demon.
The right pill for the right demon, yes. That's right.
Yeah, that's what it was. And if psychiatry was in the ascendancy, and there were no exorcists in the diocese, that's when Father Rufus and Estella agreed that there should be exorcists. Stella, I think, said, "Well, there should be at least two exorcists in every diocese." That is the law now. The U.S. Catholic bishops is that every diocese must have two exorcists.
To give anybody else listening to this some perspective, how many healings and deliverances and things would Stella conduct on an average month?
Take one day she gets an invite to a wedding in West Virginia, and this wedding is a doctor who has visited her, I think, once and understands the healing miracles, and he, like doctors are wont to do, has been telling all his friends in West Virginia about Stella and how she heals. And they say, yeah, sure. And so they said, "Why don't you let us pick the person that she's going to heal?" And so they, you know, they talk amongst themselves, and they come up with this guy that hasn't walked for 20 years, and they know all about his, you know, they know it's impossible for him to walk neurologically and every other which way. They're the doctors. Then this doctor who's having his daughter married has a big tent for the marriage ceremony, and it's been raining, you know, there in West Virginia. So it's a little muddy in the tent, but dried out for a couple of days, and it's not real bad. And so they wheel this guy in under the tent, and Stella gets up, walks over to him, looks down at him, and says, "Get up." He says, don't understand. I can't. She said, it's okay. I'll help you. She puts out her index finger. He grabs hold of it, stands up. All the jaws of these 40-plus doctors are now open. And then she says to the man, now let's walk. He says, well, I can't walk. She says, I'm helping you. And so he starts walking. And then, of course, she withdraws the finger. He realizes that he's walking. He pushes the wheelchair aside and starts walking and leaping.
What an amazing
At this point, the doctors are no longer concerned with this guy. They're lining up. They want to be prayed for by Stella. And she goes down the line, touching their forehead, and they all are, 100% of them, are slain in the spirit. There they are in the mud with their $400 suits. And that's just another day at the office for Stella.
Amazing, isn't it? Just totally wonderful, Frank. Wonderful.
The normal Mondays are filled with healing because Stella prays for everyone that wants to be prayed for, and you'd have to be brain dead to not ask to be prayed for by Stella. And there are people who are healed, some that can get up and say it, you know, it doesn't hurt anymore. And Stella says, I know it doesn't, but it's because I got it.
Oh, my
and
word.
Then there are people who, one friend of mine, he's a doctor. He was a doctor in Peru, but most of his life here in the U.S., he's a bus driver. His name is Mario.
Yeah.
And he had prostate cancer, and it was progressive, and he had 3 MRIs, and it was getting worse, and they were going to do the operation. And Stella prayed for him, and he demanded a 4th MRI. And they couldn't find the cancer anymore.
Oh, wow.
And so the doctor said to him, we are going to have the operation anyway because this 4th one was a mistake. There was something wrong with the machine. So he had the other 3 MRIs under his arm, and he said to them, no, I'm a doctor. I know how to read the MRIs, and you people, looking at the other doctors there, should be ashamed of yourselves. And he turned and walked out, and that was a few years ago, and he was totally healed.
Amazing stuff.
One time, Stella prayed for him. After 3 MRIs showed increase in the cancer, the prostate cancer.
That's quite wonderful. The great healing that could take place. These are truly acts, you know, acts of apostles, modern day acts. They really are.
You know, there's bilocation.
Bilocation. Have you ever heard any stories of Stella bilocating?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, Gracie, the woman that saw her, that was with her for 27 years, she has lots of stories. She has stories. Gracie once told me that one time they were this guy had died and he was laid out for the funeral, and they were walking by, and Stella says, well, we should just go in and pray for him. And Gracie then ran away screaming because she didn't want to see this guy come back from the dead again. A person. It was too scary for her. Gracie wasn't in the kitchen this one time. She had told me of many often bilocations of Stella. But one time I was in the kitchen, and I was in the kitchen with just one other woman, Stella's kitchen, and we were kind of finishing our soup, and this priest who had a off-again, on-again relationship with the prayer group, his name was Father Jose Salazar, he burst into the kitchen. You know, he didn't knock or anything at the front door. He just ran in, and then without everybody else existed in the room except Stella, which is okay with my ego, but then he says to her, Stella, Father Salazar breaks into the kitchen and says to Stella, you were in my room at Catholic University this morning. I saw you. You were, you know, your feet were off the ground. You were in a white dress and you were there. And Catholic University is about 10 miles from Stella's house. And Stella just keeps sipping her soup and kind of shaking her head, you know, like, so. And he wants to know why she was there and, you know, how she did it and all that. And she never answers him. So afterwards, I asked her, I said, well, Stella, how do you do that? You know, how does that happen now? How does bilocation take place? And she said, she paused for a while and she said, well, it happens when it's needed.
Huh. It's needed, therefore it happens. That's a miracle of God, surely. When things are needed like that, individually.
They happen.
Yeah, they happen, that's right, that's right.
Stella was ministering to this priest, and we were in her ministry to him was in a status where he didn't want to be ministered to anymore. Physically. So it continued via bilocation.
Amazing, amazing stuff.